thank you for your message to us. We thank you ahead of time as we light the candle of joy and we think about the theme of joy. We pray that you will pour your joy into our hearts. We love the thought that in your description of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, the second thing on that list of nine things is joy. You pour love and joy into us. So we open our hearts now, even if we're discouraged, like my friend Chris was discouraged, and you wanted to say to him, you see yourself as empty. I see you as full of honey. You're full of sweet things, and don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. And I even felt led to tell Chris. And so we pray for Chris. We pray for abundant life, Church of the Nazarene, that Chris can stop saying that about himself. There are times when we look at ourselves and we say, I've got nothing. I'm so empty and I'm so short in what I need to be. And let the Father in heaven speak to you. God, would you even, just for a moment, just for a few seconds, give us each a word right now. Speak to our hearts. Help us hear you in our hearts. What do you think of me? Ask the Lord. And I always delight, Holy Spirit, that you say, I like you. Because I know you love me. But the thought that you like me is another thing altogether. Thank you for liking me. Thank you for desiring each one of us. Thank you that your love has gone out into all the world and there's not a soul that you're not pursuing, that you love. And though knowing us, you accept us. Fill us with joy now as we look to your word. We thank you. I think I saw Janet among us today. We thank you for her recovery. We continue to pray for Pam. We thank you for Steve's recovery as we prayed for him last week and he's here with us. We thank you, God, for your goodness. In so many ways, we pray for the Mendezes, Judy in and out of the hospital this week, and just pray for your special grace upon her life too. But thank you for others who could be present and express your love in those ways. Thank you for the church here at Northlake. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, as we were moving through this message series on the star, A Journey to Christmas, we are today again talking about a journey of joy. And the Advent season is simply a time of preparation. It's a time of purposeful focus is a way to think of that. When we think not only of the celebration of Christmas and of his arrival in the past, we who know what he's told us in the Bible is that he's coming again. And so this is a great time for us not just to celebrate the historic reality of his birth, but to know he did go to the cross, pay for our sins, rise from the dead, ascend to heaven, and then sent his Spirit. And he is coming again. And so we're going to continue to celebrate that place. Let expectation rise up in you. Let God give you that sense. He says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I don't know what you think of what's going on in Congress and all the promises of how blessed we're going to be with the new tax, you know, code. But here's the thing, regardless of your financial condition, God can prosper your soul. He can prosper who you are and where you're headed so that whether the market goes this way or that way, sets another record or completely falls apart tomorrow, you can still be okay because you allow God to pour his love in you and pour his joy into you. It's all because of the birth of Jesus as we look back, but also as we follow the star, as those magi did, we can be those who are experiencing who God is. And so we're on a spiritual journey in these weeks together, a journey of hope and love and joy, and then next Sunday, peace. And then, of course, in the evening, we're going to gather, light the Christ candle, and celebrate that historic reality. So today we're on the focus of joy in our journey. And we, last week, as we celebrated who Jesus is as the light of the world, we focused on the journey of love. At Bethlehem, God demonstrated that to love is to give. I ran that across this when I did our daily bread reading this week, and I just loved the picture. So we talked about love being something that has to be put into action last week, And then we closed with receiving a love offering for love in the name of Christ. And I didn't say much about it. And so it is a ministry of the greater body of Christ, many congregations working together to meet the tangible needs of our community. The city calls upon us now, schools call upon us, and as well as individuals. There's a crew here, Ron King is part of that. They've built 52 wheelchair ramps. You guys, they do like one a week. And so it's pretty amazing the things that are going on. I know that Construction Workers for Christ has been part of that as well. So in order to be tangible about our love, I gave you an opportunity to give because they were getting to the end of the year. Really, it's not on fumes. They're past that. And so that's how much we gave. I thought that was just really fun, and I think the most fun thing, so many people were asking me, what was the offering? Because it kept falling off, the money kept falling on the floor, and there was a child up here that kept picking it up and putting it back in. And you know what I thought? I thought, wouldn't it be great as this child grows up, she says, my church used to give so much money, it falls on the floor. I just think that's a wonderful legacy that you give. And oftentimes we'll give about $1,000, but you more than doubled that. So thank you for your generosity to Love Inc. of Cowlitz County. And so again, we're on this journey of joy today. And joy can be the fuel that brightens our journey. It's the fascinating concept. Oftentimes we mistake it or confuse it with happiness. Regularly actually shows up in situations where it might be least expected. It's funny, in the Bible, every time that an angel is mentioned, the strange declaration is followed with, do not be afraid. I mean, the phrase is so common in the Bible, you might think that it's like heaven talk for, hello, do not be afraid. But they were actually these majestic, great creatures. You know, the encounter that Mary had when she encountered the angel was a very personal thing, and we're not told a lot about it other than the message that the angel gave her, but he began with the words, don't be afraid, you've received great favor. We know that Joseph met the same angel, we presume, because he brought the same message in a dream and said, what's happening in Mary is of the Holy Spirit, take her to be your wife, you're the one to give him the name Jesus. Shepherds were out in the field, it tells us, on the night that Jesus was born. They were keeping over their watch, and it says an angel came and spoke to them. Now, these shepherds give us a particularly good picture of the experience. These aren't cowardly men. These were a rugged lot of people that were used to living outside in wild areas. Now, I'm not experienced at this. I grew up in a suburb in a city like Portland. And the Bible tells us, though, this King David, when he was a shepherd, he said, you know, when the lions show up, I fight them off with my bare hands. And he said, when the bears show up, you know, I get the sheep back, and I take them out. So that's the kind of people we're talking about here in the Bible. These were very bold and used to facing fear. If there were bandits, you know, they would fight them off, and they would recover the sheep. But these guys were terrified when the angel showed up. And the Bible tells us that it actually began with just one angel in the sky. Here's what it says, Luke 2:9-12. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. So the angel had good news for them. This would cause great joy for all people. They were chosen to be the recipients of this announcement. And so the angel and his group then came in peace, as it were, with the world's greatest birth announcement. But he first had to help the shepherds get over their fear. And so it says in the Bible that suddenly then the whole sky was full of angels. Now, they didn't have any cameras, so I don't have any pictures of this, but I love some of these artistic renditions. Suddenly, the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men and women as well, on whom his favor rests. So started with one, but then the Bible just tells us that suddenly the sky was filled. Now, I don't think it's because the angels just showed up. I think that this heavenly presence is all around us. And for those of us who have been scared spitless by so many terror films, let me just tell you, the bad angels are outnumbered. 2-1. So when you get starting to think there's just demons behind every bush, then there's two angels around the next tree because they are outnumbered by the forces of light. And God has continued to shine his light to us. And so we can hold on to his good news of great joy for us, that the angels filling the sky was a revelation, I believe, of what was already there. So this is our starting point today as we follow the star on this journey of joy. And as we do, we're going to walk through three aspects of joy. And so I'll just list them for you up front. First of all, that joy and pain can coexist. Secondly, that joy brings connection with others. And finally, joy leads us to worship. All right, so first of all, let's have a look at this truth. Joy and pain coexist. There are tons of organizations in the world, some of them in the name of Jesus, some of them not, that are working diligently to bring clean water to the peoples around the earth. It's the number one killer of children all throughout the earth today. You and I have grown up in a culture where we don't think one thing about turning on the water tap, putting something in a glass and drinking it. We don't question, is this going to kill me? Does this have a bug in it that's going to do bad things and may take my life? But this is everyday experience for a lot of people in the world, a lot of people. And it's a killer, especially of children. And so unsafe drinking water contributes to illness and millions of deaths every year, as well as limiting opportunities for women and children who are most often responsible for hauling the water to their families. We learned when we were in Northwest Uganda this last time that rape is a very common experience for these girls who they're going all throughout the night several kilometers to get water, and therefore they're very vulnerable. So when we went to Mundumoro last year and we dedicated a well that was right there, it was not only providing clean water, it was providing safety. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so that's why so many in the world are working. Now, here's our friend Ephraim and the well that's going to be dedicated in just a few weeks up in Nyakagando. And it's in place already. They're already using it, of course. They're not waiting for the ceremony. They need clean water now. But we've been there other times in the past. We've dedicated a number of wells in Uganda. Not a strategy that we saw up front, but God has allowed us to participate. And they've not only gotten water, but they also plant gardens nearby. But it's a big deal to have clean water. And great celebration, great joy is the common experience of this. And some of us have had the chance of being there firsthand, and I've never been so humbled in my life. The first time I went to a well dedication, they had branches from trees, and they were waving them. And then as our van made its way back in the brush, they were sweeping the road in front of us. So humbling, so humbling. The expression is of their great joy. We didn't have clean water, but because of you, and we come in the name of Jesus, we have clean water. So you can see the exuberant smiles on their faces. It's an expression of pure joy. And though many aspects of their lives still don't change, they are filled with joy because clean water does impact every part of their lives. As we mentioned, safety, health, and then opportunity. But it's a strange thing about joy as they experience this reality, one that we take for granted. It seems the natural reaction for most of us is to think that joy can only come when pain is removed. But the truth is, in our fallen world, joy and pain exist side by side. Amen? Some of you know this. I read a powerful Christmas letter yesterday of profound pain and then joy as God helps to see the things that sometimes we lose sight of. Really, there's no way to separate them. Our lives are kind of in constant tension between these places of joy and pain. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite writers, and he's written a book that's called Surprised by Joy. It was he who said, joy is the serious business of heaven. And in this, he's drawing upon his own experience. He said, we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So he met this woman from America, C.S. Lewis, a professor at Oxford University for many years in literature, and her name is Joy Davidman, and he married her out of convenience. She was in a really hard time, and she needed citizenship in England, and he did her a favor. And then he fell in love with her. And so he wrote a book later that was called Surprised by Joy. A little bit of play on words, obviously, since her name is Joy Davidman. But here's the surprise. After he finally does fall deeply in love with her, she has cancer. She does not recover, and she is taken from him. And yet his experience of it, at the end of all the real grief, all of the real heartbreak, is joy. To be in that place where, as he writes in another place, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so in that place, we can find that even in the hardest times of life, God is near and can help us. What are the circumstances for you right now that are causing you to fear? What do you feel afraid of? Where's the pain of life seeming to overshadow the presence of joy? What feels like it's spinning out of control? Those are the places where exactly the words of the angel can penetrate most deeply and powerfully for you. The message to you is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to fear. There's good news of great joy for all people. Amen. And friend, all people includes you. There's good news of great joy for you. And you just have to receive it by faith. I'm not saying every moment has a smiley face on it. You can think, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put a smiling face on it. But in James chapter 1, 2 to 4, he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So we can be surrounded by difficulties. And again, we don't just have to put on a happy face. We don't have to slap a smile on the deep pain of life. But this is also an encouragement that even in the midst of hardship, there is a longer, broader view, a perspective that shows us that our trials can lead us to grow and become mature in our faith. And while this kind of growth certainly isn't easy, it can be filled with joy. As we walk in a relationship with God, we can grow to experience a sense of joy that comes from understanding that there is more than the pain that we're facing. There is a deeper reality that is at work. There is an unseen source of life that is flowing within, that can nourish and refresh and cleanse and renew us, much like the clean water in a place of hardship, sickness, and death. When I was in Israel, I saw a picture similar to this one when I was in the far south near Beersheba. I also saw this same reality, by the way, in Phoenix, Arizona. It caught my attention in Phoenix because I had seen it in Israel and didn't know what I was looking at. When I look into a dry valley and I see a bunch of trees, I just assume must be a river over there. But as it is in this picture, when you go to a wadi, is what it's called, you'll find that it's as dry as the desert around it. And yet there are green trees lining it. What a peculiar thing. Saw the same thing in Phoenix. Caught my eye especially when Darla Jones had passed. I was praying for her husband, Eric, and I was out trotting down this trail by the river, which did not exist. It was just rocks, and it was dry, and there were green trees on either side. And the person in Israel, his words came back to me at that moment. He said, do you know why the trees are green? Because the river is still there. You just can't see it. It's running underground. But mind you, the green trees are showing you it's still there. So in that place to receive the Lord's encouragement, as we allow God to help us in those very painful places, experience his joy. Joy and pain consist or exist side by side. Secondly, then, we want to look at this reality, joy and connection. Joy leads to connection with others. Just as we saw in this picture, the delighted faces of these people, do you notice that they're not alone in their joy? We see individual pictures of this, but for those of us who have experienced it up close, and it's only because of our relationship in Uganda that I've ever seen anything like this, but it really is a community-wide joy. There isn't just one person that's super excited and filled with joy. It's the whole village. And the same is true about the good news of Christ in Christmas. The good news of great joy is for all people, and it's meant to bubble over into our lives. I don't know what it is about bubbles, but they tend to make you hopeful. There's a lot of science around the suspension of what's holding the soap together and blah, blah, blah. But the point is that it's a picture to us, and the childlike faith within us begins to rise up and think, something good could happen. Something could help me in this season. I love this picture. Wherever we find ourselves in whatever seasons of life, if we can humble ourselves and become like kids, we can enter into a kind of joy. You see, Jesus came to save us all. In fact, the coming of Jesus, his birth, and the promise of his second coming are the source of joy for all of creation. And so there is this place in which, as we sang earlier, joy is offered to the world and to creation itself, the Bible tells us. Jesus came to set things right and redeem the entire world from sin and death. The good news isn't just for shepherds or Americans or all Christians. The good news is for the world. It's for everyone. Joy is uncontained and uncontainable by borders or governments or nationalities or races. Or can we say in this season, political parties? Amen? The psalmist conveyed such a resonating joy in the 96th psalm where, let me read this if you're too far away, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He'll judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in his faithfulness. So God is just, but in love, he's inviting us to look forward to that moment with a sense of joy, a sense of anticipation in which he's going to bring us into the fullness of his life. See, here's the reality. Fear and pain isolate us. So don't let it hold you captive. Instead, let God bring you into relationship with other people. I know grief is real. Pain is real. I'm not saying to deny that. But let the Lord help you see beyond your circumstances. Not just somewhere down the road, but even in this moment where he can open up your eyes. Thirdly, then, joy is prompting. It's that which leads us to worship. So our response to joy when it interrupts our everyday life and sets up camp among the mundane and the painful experiences, how do we live in the balance of joy and pain until Jesus comes again? How do we foster and experience this joy that is offered to us? Sometimes it's easy to embrace joy. Sometimes our struggles and hurts are so overwhelming that we're trapped and bound by our fear, and joy can feel far away and distant. The good news of the gospel is that worship can actually jumpstart our joy. As we fix our eyes on God and his greater reality, and I mean, I thought some joyful moments this morning in worship where we allow the song and the theme of it to take us someplace that maybe we weren't when we came in the door. That place where we marvel at this amazing miracle that God loved us and came for us in such a profound way as the birth of his son, in the very same ways we're born into this world. And so in that place, we can fix our eyes on his realities and on, instead of our immediate problems or the fears that we're facing in the moment. In the Christmas story, we can lift up our eyes. The angel is announcing good news of great joy, and it's for all the people. And the entire angelic host, the Bible tells us, praised God. It then tells us that those shepherds pressed past their fear, and they went to see. They went to see the baby Jesus, and they found him just as they were told, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a strange place, in a feed trough, in a manger, in a stable. I love that song again, through mud and probably flies, you know, in the Middle East, maybe, you know, who knows? It probably wasn't a very clean situation, but boy, we can find God in these places. It says that they worshiped him. It tells us that they then left and they went out to tell other people all that God had told them. The Bible tells us that the wise men also responded to their joy with worship. It says that when they saw the star, they fell down and they worshiped him. When they found him, they were led by the star, they found Jesus and they bowed down and worshiped him. So think about this all for a moment. What might this have looked like? You know, did the shepherds break into song? Did they begin singing and dancing? How did they respond, these exotically dressed sages kneeling down? Or did they just stand and offer their gifts in a kind of more ceremonial kind of way? And there's all different kinds of expressions as we think about how to worship God. But as they let God's message of joy penetrate and sweep away their fear, they were drawn joyously toward him. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that you love him even though you've never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The Bible speaks about meditation, and that's not emptying your mind of reality. It's filling your mind with the Word of God. And it's in that place where you slow yourself down enough to begin to remember who God is and what he's done to express his love to you. And so I just want to encourage you to do that as we finish here today. You may be sitting there thinking, that's great, and I'm not really experiencing much joy in my life today. That's okay. Brokenness in our fallen world stands at odds with Christ's joy. There's no question about it. And in the life on earth, we're straddling the tension between our physical and spiritual realities. This season that is about good news of great joy leads to connection and worship, but it can also be a very difficult and a lonely time for many of us. So what can you do to find yourself there? So let me just give you three ways as we finish here. First, take the time to connect with others. Take time to make an appointment with somebody, a coffee appointment, a lunch appointment. If there's a family gathering, go. Be a part of other people and enter into that place. I know at some of those family gatherings, that means you're going to sit around the table, and this is the first Christmas where your loved one is not there. Well, would you, as my friend reminded me yesterday, not just think about the empty chair? Sure, you're going to think about it. I'm not asking you not to. But look who else is around the table. Pay attention to all the other good gifts that God has given with you. Joy can be contagious. And just as those angels were messengers who sparked joy in various others as they went and then told what they had seen, it can rub off on you as you spend some time with other people. This room right where you're at right now can be a place to start. I've already made appointments with some of you in this season, and I'm hoping, I'm looking forward to being with you, and I know that, I'm hoping, I know the Lord wants to encourage you through that time together. We welcomed our daughter home because she's on break. And so welcome home, college students. Welcome home those who have been away. We're grateful for it. But in every opportunity, take advantage of the opportunities to be with others. Secondly, take times to be purposefully thankful. And you'll have to do it on purpose, especially if this is a hard time for you. Gratitude has a way of reminding us that the joy and seasons we're in still have places where we can rejoice, even in the midst of pain. In the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, Paul's actually in jail. He's in prison. And don't think, you know, someplace where they're feeding you three times a day and it's not so bad. It was bad. But it was in that place that he wrote these words familiar to many of us. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Now, the key to that, of course, is you're rejoicing in the Lord. You're not rejoicing in your circumstances. You're not rejoicing in your, perhaps, sickness. You're not rejoicing that you've lost somebody. You're rejoicing in the Lord. And in that place where you're fixing your eyes on him, and then ask the Holy Spirit to help you to remind you of all the things for which you have to be thankful. It might help you gain a focus in this season if you would just make a list. Someone made a list. You won't be able to see some of these. Someone said, I'm so glad I have dishes to wash because that means I had food to eat. Huh? I'm so glad I have toilets to clean because that means I have indoor plumbing. Amen. I'm thankful for that on a regular basis. But in all seriousness, it might help you to make a list of these things. If you're really, really struggling right now on your journey toward joy to Christmas, sit down and make a list, and it will help you to recapture that sense of gratitude, and God can fill you with joy even in hard times. And then finally, worship God. Worship God for who he is. He is the child that came so approachable, so available to us. And in the circumstances of life that can steal our joy, even in the darkest times, we can worship God, not just for what he does, but for who he is. Indeed, he sent Jesus to die for us, and we love him because he first loved us. And his eternal love and faithfulness never change despite our changing events. And we can remember that his goodness and his mercy never runs out. So I just want to encourage you in these days of Christmas, as we're moving toward, rejoice in the Lord and allow him to help you by being with other people in the midst of your pain, remembering to be thankful for all the good things that are around you, and allowing God to help you keep getting back to worship. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the good news of great joy. And we pray, receiving it by faith, though we may perhaps be, some of us, in places where we're a little thin on joy right now. Would you pour something supernatural into each heart right now, Holy Spirit? Would you meet us where we are, and would you lift up our heads and in that place say, I do have a hope and a future for you, and I am testing your faith, but it's going to be proven genuine. Like my friend Chris, you have honey in you. You may feel empty, but there's sweetness in you because of Jesus. If there's anyone here today and you're not sure you have Jesus in you, all you have to do is ask. And the Father will freely give you the gift of his presence. You can say, in Jesus' name, forgive my sins. I believe Jesus died and rose again. And I want the gift of eternal life. And I want your Holy Spirit who fills me with love and joy, peace. Father God, be with us now as we go from this place and help us to keep journeying toward joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer after this.